This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
I'm sick with this, I'm sick with this. Since you wasn't a part of my judgment, my own sweet time didn't teach what I found. I didn't recognize simple things anymore. I don't want to be defeated, I don't want to be defeated, I don't want to be defeated.
Greetings and salutations all the way from Adelaide, Australia. Welcome to another episode of the show. My name is Shane Told. I am your host, as always, as I chat with other lead singers about what it's like to be the frontman or frontwoman of a band. Today, we have the lead screamer himself, a guy I have known a very long time. This is very overdue. Mr. Andrew Neufeld of Comeback Kid. We've been talking about this literally for years. So finally, here we are. If you're not familiar, I don't know what to tell you. Comeback Kid have been slowly cementing themselves as one of the modern legends of hardcore. And Andrew's a unique case. He started out as the guitar player in the band, and after their lead singer left, after their second record, he took over the vocal duties. And here we are with their new record, Outsiders, their sixth full length, and they show no sign of slowing down. Speaking of Comeback Kid, I am on tour right now with my band Silverstein, and Comeback Kid is on this tour. We are rocking it across Australia. If you are on the great continent of Australia, be sure you pick up tickets, destroyalllines.com. Tonight we're in Adelaide, as I mentioned, but when you get this, so that'll be over and done with. But we're playing Melbourne, maybe tonight, if you're listening to this. We go to Sydney, we go to Newcastle, we go to Brisbane. Then we're heading to New Zealand. So Kiwis, I know I have at least one that listens to the show. If you're a Kiwi, get in touch, because I would love to know. You know what? If you're from anywhere in the world where maybe I don't expect, you know, get in touch. Send me an email. Or anyone, if you want to send me an email, feel free. The email address is leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read all my emails, so send me one. Also, add us to all the social media stuff, Facebook especially. Have a search on there. We're doing lots of stuff with the Facebook page. But it is pretty cool, you know, thinking about this, just how there are people listening to this podcast all over the world. I don't know how many countries this is in. I assume you can get it everywhere. I don't know if people actually do. We're on a new platform, actually, which is pretty cool. And I can see who's listening at any given moment and their location. Well, not their exact location, don't worry. But what country they're in and their region. So it's pretty cool. And I've been thinking about it a lot lately. Just the worldwide reach that this thing has. And that is so amazing. Thank you so much to everybody that supports this show, whether you're listening week after week, whether you're telling a friend, or if you're a member of the All Access Club, which I do want to tell you about. I know I talk about it every week. If you're hitting the skip button, I understand, but it really is the best way you can help out the show. For as little as $6 a month, it gets you in, you get bonus episodes, you get bonus content, you get access to an amazing community of other people just like yourself. So many great friends, a lot of people here in Australia, actually, and it's just a beautiful thing. So check it out, leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. Again, as little as $6 gets you in. You can pay a little bit more. You can get stuff sent to your house and merchandise and patches and all this sick stuff. leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. Before we jump in, I want to remind you, if you're looking for band merchandise, I have the place for you. Rockabilia.com. They got over 500,000 unique items, all officially licensed from the bands. The bands are getting paid. You're getting the best stuff possible. So head over to Rockabilia.com. And if you use this promo code, you can save 15% off your entire order. The promo code, write it down, PC Jabberjaw. PC JABBERJAW. Save 15% off everything at Rockabilia.com. All right, let's get into it. Here's my conversation with Andrew Neufeld of Comeback Kid.
Now we can be gone and go away. Now look at us all. you got the big one.
You want a big one? I got a big one for you if you
no,
want.
No, I'm cool.
I do. I have two mics just like this. And for the listeners, it looks like kind of like a big black penis.
It does.
I mean, you know, it's kind of very phallic.
The Shure, the SM7.
Totally. And this is a very similar microphone to it, actually. And yeah, but so I remember I had Keith from Every Time I Die on, and I gave him one of these, and he's like, oh, Jesus Christ, look at this microphone. So now, like, now I give you the smaller, more manageable one, too. Because, like, this thing weighs a ton, too.
Yeah.
But I find, actually, that microphone, that it's a Beta 58. It sounds really good for podcasts, surprisingly.
Great.
So here I am with Andrew.
What's up? You know, I think this is my first podcast I've ever done with someone in person.
Really?
I've done, like, a couple on Skype.
Yeah.
But that's never as cool.
Skype, video Skype?
No, like just like
just audio, yeah.
And the service drops and stuff. And
right, I know, it's the worst when that happens. No, I prefer in person, if possible, but so much of the time, like, you know, it's just busy schedules of lead singers or lead screamers.
Lead screamers? Who coined that?
I think you coined that. I'm going to give you credit for it.
It's pretty funny.
It's like, I got lead screamer syndrome, baby.
Definitely. Are you going to change the font on the ad?
I think I will. I'll cross out the syndrome and put screamer, like, maybe spelt wrong or something.
In
rainbow colors.
Many lead screamers just kicking about.
It's perfect. No, this is funny. It's funny. I did one of these with over the phone with Scott Vogel, mm-hmm. who I know you know well. And right when I started talking to him, he's like, you sound exactly like Andrew from Comeback Kid.
Yeah, you've told me that, and he's also told me
that.
Yeah,
and I wonder if it's true. I mean, people listening to this will know if we have similar voices or how we speak or something is the same. I don't know.
Maybe it's just the Canadian thing.
Maybe, but we're not even from the same part of Canada.
I know that Tara bugs Jordan a lot about his Canadian accent, apparently. Maybe when he's hanging out with us or, like, people in Canada, it comes out more or something, but...
When you started touring, did you start losing your Canadian accent?
I'm not sure, but I definitely got made fun of when I came back to Winnipeg. Like, maybe I'd be like, oh, yeah, I was just on tour. Yeah. Like, Winnipeggers really, like, picked up on that. Like, oh, you're on tour?
Tour,
like,
yes.
Tour?
Yes. It's funny. I know. Same thing happened to me. They were like, you sound American. I was like, do I? But it happens, though. Like, you just
like,
you start
were we
kind
of trying to, like, sound like that when we were 18 years old, like, and going on tour?
I wasn't trying. And it just, I think it happens because you talk to so many people. And, of course, like, well, I guess for you, you know, you weren't the front man in the beginning. But being the front man,
Figure Four, of course. I was playing with Figure Four.
Right.
So that's kind of where... That was before the whole Comeback Kid thing.
Right, right. Well, that's crazy. Well, it's good to have you. Thanks for taking the time. We're here in Switzerland.
Yeah.
It's a lovely day.
It's really nice.
And you live in Toronto now.
I do.
And I think when we left, it was what? Like, almost in the negatives? Like, maybe zero? Yeah. We come here and it's 27. We're using Celsius, Americans. But
the ice storm in Toronto in April.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
But it's very unpredictable, but
this
it's all
is great.
Good.
And so... we've been trying to do this for a long time, have a lead screamer syndrome session. And yeah, man, there's so much to talk about.
Can you even tell who's who?
I don't know. That's the thing. That's the thing. I think I need to maybe put like a special effect on my voice, like maybe a little like octave up a couple notes.
Give me the Butch Vig plugin on mine or something.
That's funny, man. But dude, it's this is great. And I don't really know where to begin. I mean, you know, such a long road to get here for yourself with so many projects, so many bands, so many things that have happened. I don't even know where to start, so maybe just at the beginning.
Like, just like how I started touring and shit like
no,
that,
man, like before that, you know? Like, I'm just thinking about growing up in Winnipeg. Before we turned the microphones on, we were talking about, you know, Christian upbringing,
mm-hmm.
something that isn't really a part of your life anymore at all, but something that was, you know, important in your adolescence and your youth that, you know, that made Figure Four what it was
yeah.
you know, faith and religion. So maybe start there about, you know, just your upbringing and what it was like.
Yeah, you know, like I kind of grew up, you know, with that kind of church upbringing and going to the school where I was just kind of telling you before, it was just, you know, like hands clapping, praise the Lord kind of stuff. And then it got kind of crazy, like when I was a teenager, like there was a lot of like, I don't know if anyone remembers this from like, it was more of a thing in the 90s, I assume, but like, you know, people shaking and like demon possession and
right.
Adult teachers and stuff like kind of like telling you that that's like real and stuff. So it was kind of a weird, weird way to grow up. But also getting into like punk and like NoFX, and then that goes into getting into, you know, I'm from Winnipeg, so, you know, Propagandy and
right, sure.
And then getting into hardcore, some, but then there's also, you know, like there's also like I'd Christian hardcore stuff going on at the time that I got exposed to. So I kind of had a mix of both of that and met some guys that liked Madball and a lot. And so yeah. They were some older guys, and they had a band going called Figure Four, and they asked me to, I could sing in that band. So I had like five bands or something when I was like 16 years old. Right. I was like,
yeah,
really?
That's how it always is.
Yeah.
And some of them aren't even real bands. They just kind of have a name and yeah. You know who the guys are, and maybe you practiced once.
Definitely.
Right.
Krishna beads tied around my neck, you know, jerseys.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then, you know, just I think just because that band was pretty hardworking, like we ended up like getting tours and like started like straight out of high school, started touring with them. You know, and kind of as I kind of got older, kind of fell out of off the Christian thing that just didn't seem real more and more as the years went on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then, you know, I wanted to not sing in a band, and I wanted to play guitar in a band, so I started Comeback Kid.
And how did that work out for you? Here we are.
And then on our way
damn
to
it, I have to sing.
And then on our way to Australia one time, in the days when we were going, or when it was just you guys were one of the only bands that played down there then.
Yeah.
Bronwyn brought you down.
Yeah, yeah.
From Destroy All Lines.
Of course.
But I remember, like, on our way there, Scott's like, I'm going to quit the band. I'm like, please don't. But he did. And so he, like, kind of quit in the middle of a tour with Ignite once we'd gotten, like, it was, like, all these tours back to back. And then he quit, and then we just kind of took up vocals, and here we are, like, 13 years later.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, were you a guitar player before you were a singer for Figure Four? Like, did you play guitar as a kid? Or did you kind of pick it up at the same time?
No, yeah, for sure. Just played guitar as soon as I could. Like, I did piano when I was a kid, and then, you know, when I was, like, I guess, whenever I was allowed to get a guitar, like, 14, 13 or something.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, you got, like, you know, your influences as, you know, a kid growing up were pretty diverse. And I can hear that even, you know, today in Comeback Kid. Like, obviously, it's a hardcore band, but there's elements of, like, thrash and metal, but there's also elements of, you know, some of the, you know, you mentioned NoFX, like some of the Fat Records, maybe the heavier bands on Fat Records, the more hardcore punk bands.
Or not.
And it's,
or
not. Yeah, it's interesting.
Or
though,
Tilt
how,
and High Standard.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, High Standard had some pretty shreddy parts for sure. You know, but it's really interesting to me, though, just asking you now, like, obviously there's another band you have called Sights and Sounds, which is a more mellow kind of thing. So, you know, what were the bands really at that age that to you were the really inspiring ones?
I mean, just growing up again, like Propagandy was like my favorite band, and getting into hardcore, you know, it was just some of the classics, you know, like I've learned, you know, the Victory Records stuff, like Earth Crisis, Strife and Snapcase and Integrity. And then, you know, that, then I heard about Madball and Blood for Blood, and like, oh shit, what is this? You know? And then, I don't know, you know, Comeback Kid just kind of wanted to obviously, you know, get as many octaves in there as possible. But
right. Right.
I'm not really a fan of octaves anymore, though.
Isn't it funny how they just became sort of passé? And I think it's because, and we're talking about, for anyone that doesn't know, what we're talking about is like octave guitar chords, which if you ever heard NoFX, you heard an octave chord.
Right.
And if you ever heard Comeback Kid, I mean, the band from you know, Ontario that used octave chords all the time, was a big influence on me, was Grade.
Yeah, Grade was, yeah, awesome.
Big
yeah.
octave chord band. But I think the reason that they sort of fell out of favor with people is because it's kind of too easy. It's like taking the easy way out. Well, what are you going to put here? Just octave chord part. Because it always works.
It always works. Yeah. I think the last couple records we've done, I'm like, no, there's so many octaves. And like, you know, I would say that to Stu or Jeremy, and Stu would be like, but that's what Comeback Kid is. And I'm like, no, but get some extra stuff in there.
Yeah. What would Wake the Dead be without the octave cards? Like, that's the hook.
Harmonizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny, man. But and so much to touch on. But you bring up, you know, your kind of transition into, you know, from punk into more hardcore and stuff. And you know, the second Comeback Kid record comes out in Victory, which is probably in some ways a bit of a dream.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Like you mentioned, all those legendary Victory hardcore bands, and for Silverstein also being on Victory, we were like, oh, this is crazy. And I think we signed a little bit before you guys did, but by the time you guys signed to Victory, the kind of word was out about some of the business practices about Victory. Like, you must have heard
right.
some of the, you know, quote unquote horror stories mm-hmm. of the label, but you still chose to go that direction. What happened there?
Yeah, in hindsight, like, I mean, we probably made a good decision because the other labels that were talking to us at the time aren't labels, like, didn't end up right. as being labels.
Okay, sure.
Anymore, I think, you know. And we kind of, it was a weird thing. We were on a label called Face Down Records. They put out our first record.
And that's a Christian label too, aren't they?
Yeah, kind of? Like, I mean, dude, like, they did Figure Four stuff. And then, like, when I had the Comeback Kid demo, we were, like, touring off the demo straight off the hop, and I sent that shit to everybody with, like, a t-shirt and everything, you know? No one wanted to touch us, and Jason's like, yeah, well, I'll put this out, like, cool. Hmm. And so he did the first record. I don't know if we, like, signed for a couple, but what's funny about that is he had a band called No Innocent Victim.
Yeah.
That was also on yeah. Victory, but, like, somehow we got, like, a trade, so he wanted his own band back so he could put it on his own label, Face Down. So, like, we traded, Victory traded No Innocent Victim back.
Wow.
And then we got out of the Face Down contract to get on Victory, and it kind of worked out like that.
That's
it was
so
a weird,
wild. That's very weird.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. And then we were just talking about outside here, there was, like, a sampler with Wake the Dead, and that's, like, that really, I think, gave us legs for sure. And,
yeah,
you know, you guys were already doing your thing, but I think we're the only, couple of the only bands, that actually, like, fulfilled our contract with Victory.
Yeah, we did
honest
four
Canadians,
records,
right?
I think we were on for four records,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. It was, like, three, then if you sell another, like, if you sell a certain amount, then you have to yeah. do the fourth one or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, that was there too, and we... Unfortunately, we sold too many of our first one. I was like, oh, well, we're here for four records.
Yeah. You always sold most of the first record.
Yeah. Well, actually, our second record did our best, but it was, you know, amazing what records used to sell, man, like, compared to today.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure, like, I have no idea what Wake the Dead sold, but it's probably got to be, like, between 50 and 100,000 copies, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, maybe close to 100 or so.
Yeah, 100,000. Like, imagine a record selling 100,000 today. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, who knows? But they're listening to it somehow.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if someone gives me a record, I don't really know what to do with it. I'm very much of a phone.
Yeah.
I don't like to have stuff in my house.
Yeah.
I try to keep everything as empty, and that includes, like, music. I've lost all my music and gotten it back, like, so many times.
Well, that's cool. That's kind of not the way a lot of people feel, you know, mm-hmm. especially people that grew up with collecting vinyl and
totally.
All that, and collecting vinyl is just as big as ever. So I'm a little surprised
yeah.
you saying that, because most, you know, people that come from our school are kind of nerds. And
I think it's more just like trying not to hoard, because I had,
yeah.
you know, I have a storage unit that I like pay for that I don't need to pay for right now, you know, just full of like junk,
yeah,
collectible stuff.
That's all right. Well, you brought up Scott Wade, the original singer leaving the band, he told you on the way to Australia, like on the flight?
No, it was like, I guess we were doing a tour into Australia, and then we had a tour after in the States. So it'd be like Canada, Australia, USA.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, on the way to the airport or something, he's like, yo, Andrew, I'm gonna quit the band and stuff. I'll do the Australia tour, but I would like to like leave by like California or something like that.
Wow.
And like, dude, can you like just make it last for a little bit longer, like to finish the tour? No, he had to go. So he'd actually not done a tour with us once before that we really wanted to do. It was like Bane and Strung Out or something. And so I just filled in singing, and we had a guy that our bass player at the time knew, this guy Casey, he filled in for us.
Yeah.
And actually, Casey lived in Minneapolis, so Scott, like, his last show was in Iowa, so this kid from Minneapolis drove Casey to Iowa and then picked Scott up, drove him back to Minneapolis, and he could go home. So, yeah, his last show was in Iowa, besides, like, reunion stuff.
Yeah, right, and that was cool that you guys did that later on. I'll get to that later, but there must have been some signs then. I mean, if you say that he didn't want to do certain tours, like, was there always a thought in your back of the mind, in the back of your mind, like, well, if Scott's like out, what are we gonna do?
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, we tried it out and it worked.
Yeah, it did. But I mean, that's tough, especially at where you were in your mm-hmm. career, like, you know, coming off that huge second record,
just too eager beaver to stop. Like, there was no stopping.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just it was an interesting decision not to just try to get somebody else and just do it yourself. I mean, you have experience, mm-hmm. but again, you said, "Hey, I wanted to start a band where I was playing guitar."
Yeah,
and now you don't touch your guitar anymore.
It would have been too weird if we got someone else, like someone random.
Yeah,
I think
vocally, Scott's such a unique voice, and you know, you're not the same. Yeah. When you started singing those songs that you'd heard him sing, you'd heard recorded in the studio, you know, listening back over and over again, did your voice kind of change, like sort of mold into his?
Yeah, like I tried to sound like his, like just do the high.
Yeah, and is that shouting. Stuck with you, do you think? Or is it kind of changed?
Yeah, it's stuck with me, but obviously, like these days I kind of have a different style, maybe a different lead screaming
reed
style.
Screaming.
just kind of morphed into what it is now. I kind of like don't like the first record that I sang on, Broadcasting.
Oh yeah,
not like I think that's not the best. We don't really play songs from that record live or anything.
I always thought it was a different record. I remember having a conversation with you about it, and I'm just being like, not like I didn't like the record, but it was different. Like it was kind of like slower.
I kind of liked it. I thought I liked it at the time, but then I remember like a year ago listening to it in my brother's car or something. He was listening to it, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, what was I thinking?
Right. Yeah. Well, it was a lot of a lot to take on, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, because I guess
kind of a proggy, like proggy.
Yeah, sort of. And I mean, I know that you and Jeremy have kind of always been the principal songwriters of the band. You know, and you guys being guitar players, well, all of a sudden you have a whole other thing to worry about. I think that's probably what the result was.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much on your plate at one time to think about.
Yeah, just like not really my favorite record. I don't know.
How's your voice hold up on tour? I like notice it's a little raspy. I think mine is too.
Yeah, it'll get like this. I was a little nervous because we had like 2 months off.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah, so my plan was to go to the rehearsal factory. I have a spot in Etobicoke in Toronto. My plan was to go there just to kind of like warm up and like do some like singing along to like our like my iPod or whatever.
Oh yeah,
but. That didn't happen. I got lazy at the end, and there was some weather stuff. I couldn't get there or whatever.
Yeah, it's true. And if you're like most guys, you know, that do kind of what we do, screaming and singing, and for me, I don't want to put words in your mouth if you're different, but for me, it's like the first week is the hardest. Then after like maybe the first week and a day off.
Autopilot.
I know. I could go for months and months and months,
oh, yeah.
And it's like I'm fine. No matter how long I have to sing or like the conditions or whatever, but that first week is tough. And I don't know why I don't do that, but that's a great idea. So you just like, what, you Blair Comeback Kid and you just scream
I
in your room?
No, I don't, but my plan, it was a long break for us, so that was my plan to kind of just make, you know, just to kind of, because for what I need to do is sing, and then I break it, and then I have no voice, and then my voice comes back, and then it's like autopilot.
Right.
Luckily, I feel like I've been kind of like, pacing myself a little bit these first couple shows, so I feel like it's gonna be good.
Okay,
but I could like kind of go with a voice on tour, but also just like talk. Like sometimes I get raspy for sure.
Yeah, no, it's weird too. And sometimes like you know you'll be for me at least like I don't feel great today at all to be honest. But I know what's gonna happen is I'll be even warming up and I'll be like kind of not being able to get the words out. But there's just this thing that happens when you walk on stage and the crowd's there and like you hear the guitar like behind
totally.
You and you're just like it's just something switches and it's like my voice is just there. It just works.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's adrenaline or like what it is.
Have you gone on stage without a voice and then you just did it?
Yeah.
I've done that too.
I mean I haven't we've
almost
never
like
actually
a whisper gurgle or something like that.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like weird too. Like I'll even tell the sound guy, I'll be like, hey man. Just so you know, I'm not feeling great. So, like, I'm not saying, like, bury me, but maybe bury me a little. And then halfway through the show, I'm like, I'm actually doing pretty well. Like, I wish I hadn't told the sound guy that.
I always tell the monitor guys, just give me some, like, false confidence. Give me some, like, juice on that. And I...
What, a little verb? And
I
little...
like it. I just want to feel, like, a little bit better than I actually am, you know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, you know, so much of it is, like, mental and in your head, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you can look, like I could look at a schedule, and obviously you're probably the same. You look at the schedule and go, that stretch of shows, that could be tough. But then the second that you do that, you're putting that in your head that, oh, those are going to be hard shows. And then you get to that day, and it's like you, mentally, you've kind of fucked yourself up.
Yeah. I don't really think like that, but
no.
As far as like, that next week is going to be hard. It's just the first few days. You just got to be careful.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say you have to break your voice to break your voice to make your voice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a cool idea, and I don't know why I've never thought to just be like, yeah, just book a little room or like just go in my car and scream
for
a day.
Break it before the tour. Then you have the flight and everything and the day off before depending on what your schedule is.
But I guess it's hard. You guys must not practice very much with so many of your guys living all over the place.
Yeah, like I'm in Toronto. Stu and Lauren are in Vancouver, and Jeremy and Ron are in Winnipeg. So, just
and Americans probably are like, oh, so what is that? Like a couple hours of driving?
So that is like from like Detroit to Minneapolis to Seattle.
Yeah.
So, so that's what we don't really practice.
Yeah, that's tough. And I guess that makes a full on thing with like your when you have to, you know, not practice, but like write and then get together for a record and all that. That has to be a full on like project where like I've never done that because we've always lived in the same area. So we've kind of been able to do it at home. And then, okay, we're in the studio. If we were making a record elsewhere, do you find that that's good for you guys to kind of go into a place where it's a neutral environment?
I think so. I think that it's good to, just like block off like a week or 2 weeks or something. I think that's the best way for myself to get something done, like get something done creatively, you know? Because I find that, with my band in Toronto, everyone works and everyone has, you know, real life things to do. So sometimes it's hard to actually like, I think it's good when you have like a week and you put a time limit on things and things have to get done. Because I'm the kind of person that can really drag it on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. And I don't know what that is, if that's just like a human thing or if that's a musician thing.
I got
the same way, man.
I got to make decisions like a lot better as far as even, I don't know what the ending is. Let's get both versions. Make sure you save that other version and then we'll decide later. But I should be more.
You think like, so?
I should make decisions a little better, I think.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Like, I mean, we could talk about songwriting all day, but I mean, how much of, you know, the evolution of Comeback Kid has changed as you become obviously a better songwriter, but also more knowledgeable about how like song structure works. Like you guys sometimes use that where it's like, okay, we're going to have three choruses in a song. Mm-hmm. We're turning it around. Maybe not really.
Part.
Yeah. And how much of that are you like aware of? It's like, cause there's this thing when you're a kid, it's like, okay, like you're just looking for this an energy. It just has to be energizing part after another, and that's a song. Mm. And sometimes it works great. And other times, like, you need that chorus. Is that still something that comes in your head where you're like, I need to kind of have that youthful energy of, like, not knowing what I'm doing?
I'm usually writing.
Do you know what I mean?
We're usually writing choruses now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most songs have, all songs. Nowadays.
You're right. And do you start with a chorus when you write now?
Sometimes, but sometimes I get some sick verses come out and then it's hard to top that with a good chorus.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But, I'm super aware of that and just trimming down the fat as much as possible. But broadcasting really long songs on that record. Not to keep on dissing that record.
No, that's okay. I mean, I love to hear, you know, I thought that would be a great podcast idea actually, and someone's probably going to steal this from me for saying it, but I thought it would be a great thing to interview band members about their least favorite record and why.
Right. Yeah.
Because I could go on and on about our third record, Arrivals and Departures, and about how that record, I don't like it for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was the environment it was recorded in. But back to broadcasting, was it a bad experience too for you, like recording wise? Or,
no, it was
personally?
Cool. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
You believed in it and then you just were wrong in hindsight.
I guess so. In my opinion, no. But, you know, Stu wasn't in the band then. That's his favorite record of ours.
Wow.
So he claims. Maybe now the newest one that he had a lot to do with is his favorite.
Yeah, I read that he did like 20 demos or something.
Yeah.
Like he just came up with all these song ideas.
Yeah, he like came up with all, you know, he would send us stuff all the time and kind of made me and Jeremy kind of, oh shit, if we want to get any songs on this record, we should write, like, you know. He's really good at just doing the demos on his computer, whereas I guess I'm a little bit, I like to do it at home and then bring it to the, I don't want to spend all this time programming the drums. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like that too, and Paul Mark is like the guy that's like, he's all techie wizard with his, you know, and I'll like record drums and I'll be like, just copy and paste the same fill.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, whatever, it'll be a different fill. Like, you can understand it'll be, and then he'll like, his songs, the demos will be, like, so sick with, like, the best production. And I'm like, damn it, it's not that your song's necessarily better than mine. It's just your demo's better than mine.
Yeah, he's, like, he's changing the, what is it called, like, on the fills of getting, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. That's funny. Well, bringing in a guy, you know, and you guys have had, you've had quite a few member changes, actually. Bringing in a guy that, you know, you knew as a peer, but also as a fan of your band, and now a songwriter for the band, that must be a good thing too, because you have somebody that can kind of see your band from the outside looking in, rather than, you know, you guys kind of being in this sort of like box of like, well, this is just all we know what to do.
Yeah,
but it's hard to get an outside perspective.
Yeah, I think he really want one thing with Stu's songwriting is he's, you know, like, this is, how do I say it? It's like he's really writing to Comeback Kid, what his verse, what in his mind, what Comeback Kid is, or sometimes maybe I would want to write something totally different. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But maybe
because you've been there, done that, and he hasn't, right?
Right. Well, in a way, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you've kind of evolved from okay, I wrote Wake the Dead, and that was like that record was great and all, but now I've moved on. Where he's like, I want to write my version of Wake the Dead.
In a way. But yeah. He had so many good ideas and stuff. I'm really stoked on the last thing that we did. Outsider, it's called.
Yeah.
So
no, it's a great record. It's out now. It's been out for a little while now, too, so you've had a little time to reflect back. But I remember talking to you about the record, and it's a cool record. I wrote some notes. So I want to just see what I said.
You get pretty prepared for these podcasts.
Well, I try. Whatever. I mean, with you, it's easy, because I know your discography. I know about your shit, but some bands I like have no idea. So, you know, but your new record Outsider, I said like it's interesting and somewhat unusual in some of the parts, and it's like it's not a straight up hardcore record by any means, mm-hmm. but it's heavy and it's melodic and it's, you know, but you're not really going into like the metal zone at all.
Not really.
You know, it's and I find it. I don't know if you were listening to something that inspired that or how that came to be, because it's a unique record.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I don't know. I think that it has metal parts as well.
Do you?
Yeah. That's kind of part of the mixing and the tones and stuff, the kind of...
Sure, sure.
That kind of crunch. But, you know, it's always for me about simplifying, making it, and again, the song structure, and that's kind of where my head's always going, because that's easy to go off on tangents and stuff. So I always think that our songs are getting like more simple in my mind, but maybe they're not. I'm not sure. Like you're saying, it's like we're doing weird stuff, but like I think it's impossible for me to not do that kind of.
Yeah, well, everybody has their own, you know. I was talking to Fat Mike.
Harmonic sensibilities.
I was talking to Fat Mike, and he said that he has. Like musical Asperger's, you know, like he has this, like he'll hear a rhythm and he'll be like, yeah, it's like this, and people will turn around and be like, what? Like, yeah, it's just like this. Like to him, it's so obvious and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And like even a producer will be like trying to map it out.
Where's
on a computer.
Where's the one on that beat?
Yeah. And it's like, and I think with you guys that happens sometimes, like some of your rhythms are like unique and sometimes simple. I always forget the names of your songs. There's one that you guys like play most of your shows, and it's like a simple rhythm, and I'm just like, damn, that's like so genius because it's so simple. And you guys tend to do that a lot with just like rhythmically. It's like the chords are just, you know, it's not like the chords are melodically that interesting. It's just like all of a sudden there's this rhythm shift, and you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is just you having sort of a different approach to music. Maybe that's why it makes you unique.
It's so funny, like those kind of like weird riffs where one person hears it one way, the other person hears it the other way, and it's based on like maybe a half a beat difference, and like where does that riff start, or where's that part, you know?
I know.
And then it really fucks you. Shit, you meant that way? Like, and once you get the other way in your head, it kind of takes you a while. Like, I've just done that with other bands that I'm working with or whatever, and like no, I meant it like the start's here. It's like, no, in my mind, the start is here.
I know. It's so fucked. And to give you an example, like from our new record, we have a song called, it's called Cut and Run. And Paul Mark wrote it, and he sent me the demo, and it's like, it's one of those songs that's like comes up on the like upbeat. So it's like one, two, three. 3, 4, 1.
One.
Yeah. But when he sent me the demo, I didn't. I heard.
On the one.
And I was like, and then I heard the drum fill come in, and my brain just exploded.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, what the fuck?
And everyone's and doing it as well.
I couldn't understand the song, even to this day when I hear the record. I wish we put like a little, like
right.
just so I know, because I'm like, there's other people. Like I can't be the only one that heard it. Like,
yeah,
because the other side of my band was like, no, I got it.
Oh, there's not even a click.
There's nothing. It just comes in like that, and you know, and it was like it was a bit of a blow up in the studio a little bit because I was like, I don't think people are gonna understand this riff, and. The thing that settled it was Josh was like, well, I kind of hear what you're saying, but I kind of like that it does that. I like when songs do that. I was like, right. Really? People like that?
The exact same thing is happening to me with a Sights and Sounds demo. It's a part that goes, one, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So what I actually did, I did like an X, you know, that plug-in exhale has like voice like, oh, ah.
Oh, no, I don't know.
So I just do like, like how you wanted the click.
Yeah.
I got like a sample voice to go, on the one so that you can, from the outside can understand where the one starts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I was like, let's just do like an old school, like stick count in anything, you know,
right.
like, but, you know, in a way, I guess sometimes that is cool. And I can think of, especially some of those like old Fat Records bands and stuff. There's always stuff like that because they would do, you know, interesting sort of rhythmic stuff that hadn't really been done, especially like fast double time and everything. So I want to talk about Comeback Kid and just how much touring you guys have done and how many places you've gone to.
Yeah.
And, you know, you brought up how, you know, we were one of the first bands to go to Australia. Well, you guys were there before we even were.
I don't think so.
Oh, no?
Or maybe it was very around the same time, but
you know what? I know it was before because I remember talking to Bronwyn specifically about you because she said reminded me of you.
Okay.
And that we were like
Couple lead screamers over here.
I don't know, but I remember that. And I don't even know if you were I don't think you were the singer at that point though in the band. But,
no.
But she said that. So I remember that. And but you know, you guys have been all over. And like I remember yesterday I asked you if you'd been to Estonia because that's like my background. You know, my grandparents were born there. You guys have been to all these crazy places. Is that something that you guys set out to do? Like, hey, we've never been there. Let's try to do it. Or does it just kind of work out organically?
Yeah, no, we definitely set out to do it. And, you know, that's my favorite stuff. The like, not necessarily like Eastern Europe. Sometimes it's all good, but South America, Southeast Asia, like where it gets kind of wild, that's the shit for me. I love that. So.
Because U.S. tours and Canadian tours can be pretty boring, man. Like you know what to expect. There's nothing like wild's gonna happen. Like I remember being in Indonesia where they're wiring the stage and like they're not plugging things in. They're like taking bare wires and wrapping them together. Like that's how they're wiring the stage. I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah, like I think I got the taste for like Figure Four. A few years into touring, we somehow got a random tour in Brazil. We spent like 20 days in Brazil. It was like 13 shows in 20 days, and we stayed at the promoter's like parents' like shack in the back of their house on the days off. And we were in a Greyhound bus, and like it was so funny. Like the shows weren't doing like that stellar, so they started like selling like spots on the bus to like friends and fans and stuff like that. So like one time we just showed up on the Greyhound bus that their uncle was driving, and you know, there's like all these extra people. They're like, yeah, they're just like paying to like be along with you guys and stuff. So it was, I don't know, I love it.
So you had that early on then. You had some weird touring early on.
Well, I think the
usually it doesn't happen until bands are a little more established, you know.
I think the thing the thing with Comeback Kid, we just, I don't know, I don't think we have enough, like a lot of bands love touring the States and maybe even Canada. And I think that we need to kind of keep it special and maybe do it like once or twice a year, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you've lost two band members, prominent band members to touring so much, you know, like
all band members,
you know, with Wiggy, your drummer Kyle you know, living in South Africa. You guys went there, and he's like, I'm not leaving.
Well, he quit before that.
Okay,
we asked
okay.
him to do the tour, and
okay.
he found, but then that didn't last long, the whole South Africa thing.
Right, but, you know, it's interesting, and then Kevin is in Australia now.
Yeah.
You know, he met a girl down there and never left, and he's got, I know he has a kid, and you know, congrats to him. But it's kind of funny, you know? It's like
yeah.
that these things keep happening to you guys, you know?
It's kind of weird that it hasn't happened too much to you guys.
No. We've had one member change in fucking like 17 years or
yeah,
something.
I just kind of chalk it up like, yeah. you know, everyone that's played with us, awesome players, and we've can't really, you know, speak bad of anyone that's played in the band. And yeah, like they, you know, you give a band like 3 to 5 years of your life. That's a pretty good stint
sure.
of like doing that. And just after
especially
that,
especially when you're in your like 20s,
yeah,
like that's kind of prime, you know.
Yeah,
people say that
people
prime
move
a long
on,
time.
You know. And
yeah,
I think it's cool to play with new musicians. Like maybe for certain showgoers, they really miss seeing a certain member in a band or something. But
right.
I guarantee you that the show here tonight here, like no one really cares about previous things. You know what I mean?
No, and I think, like, part of it, too, is the songs, like, live on, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, the songs, if you've written songs that can last long enough for a band member to go through, like, whatever, 5 to 10 years, that means something. That the songs have stood the test of time, that generations later, like, we were upstairs, we were talking about Hope's Fall, and that, you know, they're coming back, and they're doing some stuff.
Oh, really?
And, you know, we're like, wait, the only original member is Jay. It's like, wait a second, he's not even the original member. He wasn't even on the first two records, you know?
Oh, shit.
And what's crazy about that is like but people still care about those songs and people are still going to go see that band. It doesn't really matter. It's something about the music lives on, you know?
What was their like bigger kind of record? Was it like, were they on Trustkill?
Yeah, they were on Trustkill.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Well, I remember what
so that
kinda
was the second version of the band, because the early version of the band was straight up the shit that I was talking about before with like the crazy like...
Very Christian, yes.
Like, and like the screaming and like...
yeah, I can't remember the name of the first record. It's like all white. But then the second EP came out, No Wings to Speak Of. And I remember hearing that record. I mean, I wasn't even that young. I was probably like 20 or something. And that record kind of blew my mind. And Stu, your bass player, guitar player Stu, like even said that.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, like when I heard that, like my jaw dropped. And it's like, you know, and no one from the band was in the band. But it doesn't matter really. Like it's still, that music is still important, you know?
Yeah, well, let's hope
to some people.
Let's hope they can pull it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So, you know what? I got a question for you. You know, Wake the Dead came out in like 05 and Broadcasting kind of came out in 07. And it seemed like you guys, you took a lot of breaks, you know, like it was kind of your prime in a way. And yes, you did some tours and stuff, but it didn't seem like you were quite a full-time band.
Maybe that's...
Is that accurate?
I think that's more of a perception thing. And
is
I've,
it a perception
I've heard
thing?
People say that before too. Like even when I go home, like, oh, like you... You know, when you get older, like, you guys are still doing your band and stuff
right.
like that. But, like, we're, again, I think it comes back to the traveling around the world and playing different places thing, is we ended up kind of not, like, maybe sometimes we won't play North America for, like, a few months or just, you know, we'll be in Europe or we'll be in Japan, you know, wherever else that we both go now. But I think that it's funny because... It's been pretty consistent. I think in the whole like kind of lifespan of the band, when Jeremy had a kid, we took 6 months off.
Yeah,
that was a mind fuck for me. And then this last like 2.5 months was like pretty long.
So you get a little stir crazy when you're away from it for too long.
Oh yeah,
because I think we're about the same age.
Yeah, I'm 36.
Yeah, I'm 37. So you know, the band's been around and been a band for a long time. It's, I mean, if you guys have never taken a break, all you do is go on tour, come home for a bit, go on tour, come home for a bit. And when you don't have that back and forth, what do you do?
Yeah, now,
is that the problem? You just
now,
don't know what to do with yourself?
No. Like, I just really enjoy traveling and playing music.
Yeah.
Like, but now it's pretty consistent. Like, Jeremy has a son now. So, you know, we have a 3-week usually, like, limit kind of thing. And then, so it's like very consistent now. But it's like not super long tours. We're not doing the 2 month like things anymore.
Right. Well, and you also have another project, which is still very active. I saw that you did a Quicksand cover.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, we
haven't heard
that
it yet.
It's not like we haven't released it online. Hopefully, by the time that this comes out, we'll put it out. But it was just kind of one thing. We were on tour in Europe, and my friend had a studio in Portugal. So, it's just about trying to motivate myself and the band to like, hey, let's record a cover. It'll take a day.
Sure.
It's not going to take too long. And then that's a really cool thing that we can have. They're putting it out like on a flexi disc for Record Store Day, like New Damages. We're not on the label, but it's just a friend little thing.
Yeah.
And
Dine Alone Records, that's a to Quicksand right there.
Yeah, exactly.
I always thought it's kind of funny, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, that band's kind of, like, that's been a part-time thing, and sometimes we get really serious and sometimes not, but doing a record this summer, and we're going to record a full-length this summer, so I'm pretty excited about that.
And that's been going on for a long time. What record is this going to be? How many have you put out?
This will be, like, the second LP, and then the first, or, you know, there was an EP in the middle.
But. Yeah, and what was the motivation to start this band?
Just to do music and like play, you know, be able to sing, do some different kind of stuff. I don't want to just lead scream the whole time. No, I don't want to just do like, you know, heavy music all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't work, you know.
Totally. When you do, a question for you about that, when you do a Sights and Sounds tour, do you find that your voice has the same problem? Like, do you still have to break it even if you're not really screaming?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but you know what? Knock on the table.
It's not really wood. It's kind of wood. It's definitely not real wood. But
this tour and the last tour, I didn't have to break it. It just I was consistent. So
with Sights and Sounds.
No, just
with Comeback.
Yeah, just with the voice. The voice thing. It's all working right now. So
you guys aren't. I remember talking to you yesterday, and you guys don't have any days off. You're just plowing
just
right
10
through.
Days. Just 10 days, and then have a week off before we go to Australia.
But 10 shows in a row can be pretty hard for some people, and you just get through it.
Yeah.
You don't say to your agent, "Hey, I need like a day halfway through," or anything.
Yeah, but it's 10 days, and we need to stay busy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're
playing probably 10 shows in a row.
I've done 10 shows in a row.
You're not doing it this week?
No, we have a day off tomorrow, and then we have two, and then we have a day off again. So,
see, day off day three is perfect for a singer.
Yeah, I know. I know some guys like Soupy from Wonder Years. He only wants to do one show. And then a day off. So I guess he can break his voice in one day and recover.
Nice.
But we didn't say break your voice, but that's what he does, I guess, is always only one show, which is kind of crazy too.
Do you find that a lot of people that listen to this podcast are also like vocalists in bands and stuff
that? I think a lot of people, a lot of singers do listen to this. Some of them tell me, you know, that they do. And like for example, Rhodey from Protest the Hero, I know he's like a huge fan. Like he listens to every episode. And
cool.
Stuff, which, you know, so I think there's informative stuff for singers, but it's amazing. Sometimes on this show, we don't even talk about, like we've talked quite a lot about singing.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't even mention it.
Yeah.
And at the end, I'm like, we didn't even talk about singing. We just talked about whatever else, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool, but it's definitely, this isn't like, I'm not trying to give anyone a vocal lesson here.
Right.
Not that I'd really be able to teach you
much. We're the instructional video, man.
Yeah.
No, it's cool, like, because we're going to be going to Australia.
Together.
Next month.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the last time we toured together, I think, was 2007 or 2008.
With Rise Against.
And that was a great tour as well. I think we were talking about it yesterday with the guys in your band, and like, you know, Rise Against was just at that point where it was like not like mainstream radio yet. Like maybe they had Swing Life Away or something, but like the shows were still like tons of people knew who Comeback Kid were and tons of people knew who Silverstein were. And it was just that was a great tour. So
I'm excited to do that tour with you. The Rise thing, I remember it was super weird because we were playing, like I remember in Atlanta, we played the Masquerade.
Yeah,
which I'm sure everyone from Atlanta knows that place. It's like maybe 1,000 cap room, and I remember it wasn't sold out. And then we played in Denver at Red Rocks, which is like the outdoor amphitheater with 8,000 people.
And Sum 41 played as well.
And Sum 41 jumped on the show. And then we played Long Beach Arena.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Was that
Lagwagon and Strung Out Bullet Point, I think. Yeah, they did add some bands in, but it was still like really weird how that, you know, I guess Rise Against had radio success and mainstream success in certain markets, and then like Atlanta they never had, so they were only worth like 700 tickets or whatever. it was really strange, but that's when we, like, for me, that's when I knew, like, oh, this band is, like, this is a serious band. This is, like, a big band.
Yeah. Now look at them.
I know.
Now look at them.
I know. I saw them at Molson Amphitheater, like, just the summer.
Oh, really?
It's, like, crazy. There's, like, 15,000 people there. Insane.
That's awesome.
Insane. But, no, I'm looking forward to touring with you guys. And you know, I don't know. We haven't done that much together. And I think, like, you know, it's always been interesting because we came up on the same label at the same time. And a lot of our fans just heard about us just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of the same fans. But I always think it was like you guys were kind of like on a hardcore, like the hardcore side of things. We were on the fucking whatever they wanted to call it, screamo, emo side.
Yep.
And it was like our paths couldn't cross or didn't cross for whatever reason. Is that something you guys think about, like, when you're taking a tour? Like, is this band make sense? Is this, like, lame? Because you guys have diversity, like, where you can do tours with somebody like Rise Against is more of a punk band, when you could obviously do stuff with, like, you know, talking about Knocked Loose or Terror, maybe, or, like, real kind of hardcore bands. But you guys haven't done that much with, you know, kind of bands outside punk and hardcore.
Yeah, yeah, we try to keep it, like, pretty... we just want to make sense, you know, like, I remember, just for like an example, you were talking about like Rhodey earlier, their manager, Rich, was kind of like feeling out the, Protest the Hero tour that's happening maybe like right now, but it was like half a year ago or 8 months. He's like, do you think there'll be something cool that like Comeback Kid would be interested in? Just as like, just like shooting the shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that that would be cool, but then I was like, would their audience care about us? Like, would that be, would we benefit at all from doing that? You know, two totally cool bands in their, you know, in their own right. But I just, so yeah, you definitely have to think about like, will this make sense for us? Will that like,
yeah,
will, does it, you know, are you going to have just a bunch of people staring at you? Which unfortunately for our style of music, we judge the show on how crazy the people are going as opposed to just enjoying the music.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Of course. Like, we're in Switzerland. Always a problem.
We're in Switzerland now. And as we were saying before, it's a, they all love to attend the show, but they're it's a pretty polite crowd.
They
pretty,
are pretty
like
polite here.
Pretty low key. Like, they want to listen to the music and.
Yeah, well, look at Japan. Japan, they can be so polite. Like, but between songs, it's like you can hear a fucking pin drop.
But they pop off.
But they love. But they like it. They love it. They love every minute of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think that's tough. But I think also, to be completely honest, I think things have changed. And I don't know if, if it comes with the age of the band, the age of the fans.
Do you think your guys' fans? Do you feel like you have a lot of older audience at your shows these days, as opposed to?
I think we have a mix. You know, I think it's cool because we, with our newer records, you know, people are, some people are just finding out about like our new record, Dead Reflection. Like, some people were just finding out about it and they're like, oh my god, this band. So to them, it's like new and they want to hear just the new stuff. And then there's fans that have been with us since the very beginning that are like, you know, in their late 30s. Mm-hmm. So we have a mix of that, and I'm sure it happens with you guys too, you know. And there's young, you know, young kids coming out for your band, for sure. But what, I guess what I'm saying though is like, I just think that people aren't so worried about genres and like, oh, Comeback Kid's touring with this metalcore band, that's so lame.
Right.
I don't think that that is as all at all as prevalent as it was 10, 15 years ago. Maybe it's just because people are older now or more mature.
We've always just done different types of things, you know?
Yeah.
We always tour with different.
Well, it makes
kinds
sense
of bands
for you guys too, but then at the same time, I sometimes feel like you don't, you know, do things. Has there been any other notable stuff that you've turned down that you got offered? Because we don't turn down anything.
No. The only reason why we usually turn stuff down is just because of scheduling, really,
yeah.
and or if it just doesn't make sense or whatever. But can't really think of too much. Like, I can't. Nothing's really popping out at me right now.
We took a tour supporting Avril Lavigne in Japan.
Really?
So that's about as extreme.
What year was that?
2009.
You said you turned down a tour?
No, we did it.
Oh, you did it?
We did it.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, that was crazy. We so it was in Japan, which is weird enough as it is.
Mm-hmm.
We played the Tokyo Dome.
Crazy.
It was huge. And they didn't know what, like, they're like little Japanese girls for the most part, and they probably never heard a band with screaming before.
Yeah.
It was a trip, man. but I'm glad we did it, you know? And I think, like, sometimes putting yourself in those situations can make you a better band.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I don't know. I've been lucky to... We haven't really done too many... Yeah, maybe you're right. We haven't really done too many weird...
Oh, it's all good.
Tours.
It's all good, man. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I appreciate you doing this.
Oh, thank you for having me.
The new record, Outsider, is out now. Outsider's kind of a funny title. Does it mean, do you feel like an outsider? What does that mean? It's not like, a funny title. I shouldn't say
no,
that.
No, I know. It's like every interview when they record, what is the meaning of it? No, but, Stu kind of came up with this title. And I think it's all right. Like, he kind of pushed, it's kind of more Stu's title of the band.
He's got a big role in this record.
Yeah, apparently. It really does. But, we just kind of felt like we've done our own thing for this whole time. We don't really feel like we really belong in any kind of, little group of bands or, any kind of specific, genre or whatever. You know, we do our take on, like, hardcore and punk and stuff. But, it's just kind of about... doing our own thing, and we feel like we kind of are a little bit all over the map as far as the choices that we make, and just
makes sense from where you came from,
our point of view from Canada as well, and just
it makes sense for where you come from, being from Winnipeg. I mean, you can list the punk hardcore bands that have made it outside of Winnipeg and like probably on one hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's more than I'm not thinking of, but like, I mean, someone like Propagandhi, saying they're your favorite band. I mean, they were a band that like got out and did it. That must have been inspiring for you guys.
Definitely.
But, I mean, you talk about Outsider. They're an outsider too. 100%. What they do. No one is like them.
I know.
They don't fit in with anything really.
Yeah.
Everyone's either too, with them, like no one's that really that political, if that makes any sense. And you guys, with just your kind of eclectic background, it's also, similar.
Yeah, them alongside a few other people, just when I was a teenager, were the ones that kind of taught me about human rights and just rights in general, rights in general. And just that take on the world definitely had a huge influence on me. So, and I'm sure yourself as well.
Yeah, well, they're the reason I went vegetarian.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be vegetarian if it wasn't for Less Talk, More Rock. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, dude, thanks for taking the time. I always play music on this show, and I don't know what to play. I mean, Comeback Kid has a, huge discography with a lot of great tunes. What's maybe one of your favorite kind of deep cuts we can play for the people?
Ooh.
It can be from anything. It can even be from broadcasting.
let me see what would be like a good deep cut.
He's going through his phone. I like this. Are you going through Spotify, or do you have this stuff saved on your phone? Or
check out this song called "Consumed the Vision." And we have Chris from Flatliners on this song. It's off the new record, and it's a pretty fun one, I think. So,
all right,
yeah.
Shout it out. What is it called again?
"Consumed the Vision," featuring Chris Cresswell
of Hot Water Music.
Of Hot Water Music.
Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome, Lead Screamer Syndrome.
There's a sentiment in the atmosphere, maybe more severe than it would. Unassisted, unaware, loaded by that golden snare, lead them down the road to salvation. Is it treating you well? Play an absent role. Stop pressing against the wall.
with Andrew, Lead Screamer Syndrome. It's got a pretty good ring to it. I love it. Thank you so much to Andrew for taking the time on tour. I know it can be tough, and I think both of our voices are a little hurting back then and maybe at the moment. I don't know if it's just this time of year, dryness or whatever, but you can probably hear it in my voice. I'm a little raspy, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles, my friends. Next week, we will be back. Telly Smith of The Word Alive will be on the show. They got a new record out, and what a great dude. He's back for round two. So good to have him. Make sure you are subscribed. Hit that subscribe button. And if you want to help at the show, remember, we have the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. That's leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. Check that out. But also, if you like the show, please write a review on iTunes. Tell a friend, tell a loved one. Let's keep this thing going, and let's keep this thing growing. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will leave you with a tune. Hard to pick just one. This band has so many great songs. But I'm going to go with a heavy one. Here is Do Yourself a Favor by Comeback Kid on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next week.
Understand, I don't need the words.